College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Beep, beep, boom. 2,800 Hezbollah terrorists hit by an exploding pager plot. One of the most unique and, I think, certainly devastating and deadly, but I've never seen a plot executed to perfection in a way that you never saw coming. And it's not to take a victory lap, but you know what? They started this, and I say they, these savages, on October 7th. By the way, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary. We're only about 19 days away from the one-year anniversary of October 7th, 2023, with what happened at that music festival. So we will get to that. We'll get to the details. I mean, the footage that I was seeing, not just on social media, but on the evening news last night, both locally and at the network level, and on Fox and CNN was riveting television. If you're paying attention to stuff as far as, you know, in the Middle East with what now we're looking at almost a year of this. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But before we do, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:03, the Great Dawn Stenzel.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live this Wednesday morning, sponsored by Malvern Retreat House. The city of Philadelphia is preparing to honor the life of Philadelphia police officer Jamie Roman, killed in the line of duty. He survived nearly 2 months on life support after being shot in Kensington during a traffic stop, and he will be laid to rest this week. So Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel announcing, of course, that Officer Roman had lost his battle for life, and that was last week, surrounded by family at Temple University Hospital, just after 2 weeks before his 7th anniversary as a 25th district policeman in the city of Philadelphia. Just a real tragedy here. A wife, young children, 31 years young, and right shy of his 7th year anniversary on the job. So we now know that the public viewing will be held for Officer Roman today, September 18th, from 5:30 to 8:30. This is Givenish Funeral Home on Academy Road there in the Northeast. And this is, generally speaking, The officers in these situations, tragically, Givenish is the funeral home on Academy Road where we go. Commanders March will begin 5:30 p.m. from nearby Archbishop Ryan High School, and that will go to the funeral home. Then tomorrow, we will see the procession tomorrow to the Basilica here in Philadelphia, and the funeral is set for tomorrow. So I wanted to give you those details because I know a lot of people have been asking when Officer Roman's funeral and the viewing would begin. So tonight, 5:30, the viewing begins. I don't usually do traffic, but I will say to you that the Blue Route is a mess because of a dump truck involved in a multi-vehicle crash. So this is the Blue Route stretch. Delaware County closed for hours this morning.
Between Upper Darby and Villanova, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Coming northbound. So, it was
a mess.
It was there like 4:45 this morning, so.
Yeah.
And it involved a fuel spill that was part of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't have word of immediate reports on injuries, but we're just a heads up. If you're heading out, you probably want to still avoid that area because of the backups.
And it's going to be rainy today too, so that's always log jams traffic.
Oof. Yeah, next day or two we're going to stick. Yeah.
Just keep it tuned to 1210 here for your hellish commute in.
Yes, traffic and weather together on the fives.
I try to make it less hell for you. We talked about Collingdale Council, the contentious, loud meeting last night, without voting for a police chief. This is Collingdale Council was expected to vote in a new police chief. The problem is he is right now a police officer who is on desk duty, essentially, because he's accused in a criminal case. Now, he says he's an innocent man, but no police chief in Collingdale. So we're watching that one very, very carefully for you. Since Nick mentioned this, as far as the pager situation, the update today with regard to reportedly Hezbollah terrorists who were hoodwinked essentially for getting these pagers that were laced with explosives. That's the word. This morning, an electronics maker in Taiwan announcing this morning they had nothing to do with this. They did not make the pagers used by members of the militant group Hezbollah that exploded, and it was all timed. So they weren't just going off randomly. Mm-hmm. Everybody's exploded simultaneously across Lebanon.
When's the last time you've seen anybody with a pager?
Well, the reason the reason reportedly that the terrorists got the pagers was because cell phones are tracked.
Of course.
And so they wanted to, the leadership had said, hey, we're going to get rid of the cell phones. Mm-hmm. We've ordered these nice new handy dandy pagers.
Right. Well, if you've ever seen any of the movies, and I know it's they're movies, but some of them are factually based, any of the post 9/11 Bin Laden type movies, like Zero Dark 30, you know, you've seen these carriers that were working for these terrorist organizations, and you're right, they carry pagers, they get notified, and in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan, they go to these little shops where they use payphones, and they communicate that way, because as you said, cell phones get tracked. So they tried to go undetected, but it didn't seem to work out for them.
So in a statement, Gold Apollo identified the other company as a Hungary-based maker, and the company is authorized to use Gold Apollo's logo for the products. So they're basically saying, we have nothing to do with this. They don't want to be involved with, you know, making Hezbollah angry.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that's going on. Initially, when this was being reported, and it was mid-morning, so I had reported this, one of the reports was that the batteries somehow heated up, that these were items that were hacked,
mm-hmm.
and then the batteries heated up and exploded. Now, later in the evening last night and this morning, the confirmation is that Israeli forces were able to plant explosive devices within the device,
mm-hmm.
that it was not hacked, a battery did not heat up and blow up.
Yep.
And that this was planned and it was simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this went viral, and as far as teenagers in the world were getting a kick out of the, you know, the emojis, because it's the eggplant emoji, which symbolizes the male part.
Yeah, because
so exploding eggplants.
They were like, blowing their crotches off, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where do you wear your pager?
Yeah.
Around your waist.
So that's a devious plot. I love it.
Stalker and I can recall this vividly in the 90s in the Lehigh Valley when you'd see a guy in high school with three pagers. You're like, hey, he's probably slinging dope.
I love the pager.
I did too.
You know
too.
What I mean? Like you try to reach somebody if you wanted to get them immediately, you know, you put your number in and put 911 on there.
Right. I was late to the party. As soon as I got a pager, cell phones became a thing. And then I went back to my mom. I'm like, I need a phone. She's like, you just got a pager. Shut up.
We talked earlier about mail-in votes. Since all of the cases are resolved in the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, resolving all pending cases involving those third-party candidates. Just to give you the date to watch, until October 29th, that's the deadline to apply for a mail-in ballot. So registered voters, you can also request a mail ballot online or via a paper application, which they can then mail in or drop off at your county election office. So completed mail ballots must be returned to county election offices by 8 p.m. Election Day, November 5th. You can go to protectthevote.com. Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, has their own site, which is vote.pa.gov. But protectthevote.com is the one we talk with Linda Kearns all the time about. But Linda had given us the heads up, and I had interviewed her on Monday saying that because of all these cases, there's a lot of confusion because people were saying, wait a minute, September 16th, I was supposed to get my mail-in ballot Monday the 16th. Where is it? They're being printed, then they have to test them. So it could be a week or two.
Test them.
Yeah, that's what the county, they announced this yesterday.
Our state's like a third world country. Oh, we're not going to have election results for 2 nights. We got to test the ballots. My God. Get it together.
Yeah.
Why I came back to this state. Oh, it was for this job.
When can we just When can we just vote on our phone?
Yeah, well, I could do everything else, right?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that? on the campaign trail, Trump with Arkansas governor, oh, my girl. Oh.
Throwing shade.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Throwing shade at people who don't
love
have
her.
Kids. Throwing shade at people who don't have kids. That's a smart tactic.
Uh-oh.
Whatever. She's perfect. Don't talk about Sarah. No, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's now going to be one of the surrogates, and she's coming to Pennsylvania, campaigning with Trump in Michigan yesterday. And as far as Vice President Kamala Harris in Philadelphia, pointing out this was not a campaign stop, because this was something where this is a panel, and it's NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists. Trump had been interviewed, you recall that,
yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
And I'm sure she was treated with the same hostility that Trump was, right?
I don't think this is a different group, I will say, but that group, you may recall, was more than half an hour late Trump.
Right.
And it was very contentious. In this one, they were asking questions and follow-up questions. The headlines this morning by the local media, Kamala Harris stuck to her script, stuck to her talking points.
Interesting.
So the local people are
recognizing
pointing it
that.
Out.
I mean, the Inquirer is not, if that's what you're, if that's what you're referencing.
Not the Inquirer.
I'm looking at the front page.
You're talking about local TV, Don?
Harris talks guns, Gaza at NABJ event in Philly. The vice president took questions for 45 minutes in an interview with black journalist groups.
And then there was another Inquirer headline, something about she wants to make sure that she gets the black male vote.
Oh. Yeah.
She didn't really do much to earn it in 3 years and 10 months. So I guess better late than never.
We have all of that audio. I'll play for you at 7:45. You're going to want to hear that. You would know that if you read my, if you're in my cut sheet last night that I sent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm sure you got right on reading that. but the headline is, though, they asked her about her laugh. And how Republicans make fun of it.
Is that another thing that's off limits now? I mean, I know her race is off limits,
it's
her identity, who she slept with, possibly, allegedly. It's amazing how everything is just off limits.
It is really amazing the disparity that you see between how they asked, what questions they asked Trump and what questions they asked her.
So let's just say you just returned from Saturn, right?
Yeah.
And you just realized that. So here's what you've missed. Don't criticize or question anything about Kamala, including the nervous laugh. But it's okay to shoot at Trump because he deserves it. That's what you've missed in the last 4 months.
They did ask her if she has talked to Trump, and she admitted that she called former President Trump to see how he was doing.
I read that last night, that both Joe and Kamala, and I guess Trump was saying, they couldn't have been nicer. Like, kudos to Trump, I guess, for taking the high road. But like, as I said yesterday on the show, if my phone rang and it wasn't Israel trying to blow me up through my device, and it was Kamala or Joe, I would hit the Klein.
By the way, can I just say, WHYY in this city is a garbage organization. Let me just say that again. For anybody who's listening who can't hear me, WHYY is a garbage organization. Thank you very much. The fact that our tax dollars, go to that crap is just...
This is NPR?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I the fact that they got this interview over our sister station is just it just infuriates me.
So you obviously would have rather have had.
Look, we know she's not coming here.
Oh.
So if she's going to come somewhere, I wish it would have been to KYW.
Yeah.
But instead,
well, KYW does not have a television studio, and they wanted to have. I mean, they have a beautiful state-of-the-art studio, and yes, taxpayer funded. But it's a gorgeous television studio.
Yeah. The point, taxpayer funded. We pay for this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Let them compete like we do.
Yeah.
Every day. Let them compete
for
ad dollars. Let them compete
for
Cherry Hill Volvo, for all the great advertisers here. Let them compete for them. See how they do. See how well they do.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I can't. It just infuriates me.
I got you, man.
Well, if you want to be triggered even more, WHYY writes that NABJ hosted Trump for a similar event in Chicago last month, in which he questioned Harris's race. Like that event, the conversation with Harris will be streamed live on NABJ's social media and fact-checked in real time by PolitiFact with the hashtag NABJ fact check.
I just every time I see that WHYY in the top 10 or top 5 in the ratings market, it just infuriates me, because they don't have advertisers. They're all taxpayer funded. It's garbage.
Well, they don't have to clear the hurdles that we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about what we face on a daily basis.
Thank you.
Just to execute.
Absolute garbage.
Yeah.
They get an FM dial. Like, give me a break, man.
By the way, this is still the news.
Oh, sorry.
I know. He's
sorry.
He's very triggered this morning.
Nick, I'm sorry, man.
Oh, no, you're good, man.
This is something for you, Nick Cale.
Beats what I had to say.
Temple University. Nick's is an alum, and Nick has twin daughters who love to dance competitively. Temple University is celebrating 50 years of dance. So their Boyer College of Music and Dance is hosting a year's worth of events to commemorate a half century of its dance degree program.
How about that? Probably even cheaper on a monthly basis than the one I'm spending.
Probably is.
Yeah.
But they're champions in the child dance competition world, so that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So we are sponsored this morning by Malvern Retreat House. Visit Mel. I think Greg Stocker needs Malvern Retreat House, the nation's largest Catholic retreat house, located in Chester County. Malvern Retreat House hosting men's and women's retreats, couples retreats, spiritual direction, recovery retreats, and more. Retreat from the noise. Hear God's voice at malvernretreat.com. He's not caught. Now he's quiet.
You're done? Are we good sponsor-wise? So.
Yeah, that was Malvern Retreat House.
Gotcha.
And the forecast, it's rainy today, cooler, 74 degrees. Tomorrow we'll start warming up again, but still the rain tomorrow. The rain clears out by Friday and we heat back up into the 80s.
All right. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. The greater Chris saying, well, I guess the big announcement tomorrow is not that it's Greg Stocker's moving to WH.
Wouldn't that be funny? Greg Stocker is the new program director of WHYY.
Yeah, that'll never happen, by the way, because they're going to clip this and they're going to send it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll be in trouble with somebody at 10:05 today. Carl writes, have at it, Greg, enjoying the rant. Didn't know you were so competitive. Really? I'm competitive. Come on, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll take anybody on.
Oh, yeah.
I will put this radio station up against anybody, and we compete.
Yeah, we do.
Give us the resources, we will compete.
Greg is all feisty.
Yes. I am. I just
ready to go to bat today.
Fight.
I am.
All right.
For my people.
All right, coming up next, we got to get to this Hezbollah story yesterday with what Israel pulled off. Dawn highlighted it in the news, and we will get to multiple clips. We're going to show you the moment it occurred, as well as the devastating aftermath and some of the specifics from a number count as well. Because as I like to say, if you F around, you will find out. And we'll get to the details coming up next. It's Kale and Company, live here on this Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I love the work they've done, the beautiful work they've done in my home and my new patio doors, especially that wall of doors, replacing those windows. You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman family team. So if you're thinking about updating your front entry door, right now is the perfect time. For the month of September, Chapman is offering free hardware on a brand new front entry door up to the value of $500. And oh, an updated front door can really change the curb appeal of your home, increase and boost the resale value. Whether you're looking for a single door, double, or what about a door with the side lights? Their experienced project consultants can help you choose the perfect new door for your home. So if you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, hardware, or that front door, give them a call. Text 610-431-8898. You can visit them online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Those in Israel were attending a music festival, and these savage, barbaric terrorists slaughtered well over 1,200 individuals. And if you thought that this was going to slow down, you were sadly mistaken. And as we approach one year, as we approach another election, I'm starting to wonder if, in fact, this will be in play and a factor for how people decide to vote. Because as I've said, to me, it's very simple. If you are Republicans, if you are Donald Trump, election, it is very simple. It's the economy, border, and war. Economy, border, and war. Just hammer those three things every single second of every single day, and you should put yourself in a great spot to win this election coming up on November 5th. Now, what Israel was able to pull off yesterday, as Dawn highlighted in her news, is, I think, one of the most badass things I've ever seen. I've never seen this before. If there's a precedent for this, it's news to me. I didn't even know that this was possible. And I want to just give you a little bit of context here. Now, this story would actually be considered a little dated because Dawn gave you some of the updates. But a Hezbollah pager, if you are a Hezbollah terrorist member for the Lebanese terrorist group, received a fateful message. Everybody's carrying these pagers, right? And then kaboom, it explodes. Now, militants are blaming Israel. They are vowing revenge as hundreds of devices detonated across the Middle East. According to this story from the Daily Mail, it looks like, and the numbers have probably changed by the hour, but as of this was being printed, 9 people confirmed dead, 2 children, but more than 2,750 people were injured across Lebanon, with more than 200 people in critical condition. And there were the two main theories that were being floated around yesterday as to how they were able to pull this off. We'll go into this after the video, after the footage, and then Dawn, you can clarify what you said in the news. But Phil, I want to play clip one. This is, now there's no audio with this, so get on over to YouTube. And by the way, viewer discretion advised, this is not the most pleasant thing to watch.
Yes,
but video footage from inside of a Beirut supermarket appears to show the moment that Israel sent out its deadly message and a Hezbollah attacker was seen confused, lifting his shirt up at a supermarket, presumably where the pager was placed, perhaps like on his belt loop or whatever, on his pants. After getting a message on the pager, it lights up. And then, of course, we know he was ultimately taken out. Phil, this is clip K1. It's about 20 seconds long. You'll see it here. And there is the detonation. It looks like a guy who was standing in front of barrels of fruit and produce. Looks like fruits and vegetables, like your typical farmer's market you might see or a grocery store. And Phil, if you can just, because it happened so quickly in the beginning, keep relooping it. And there you go, 2 or 3 people just blown to smithereens. I don't take any joy in seeing people being, killed. But again, let's keep in mind who started this. Let's really keep in mind how the Middle East, for the most part, was relatively at ease. There was a lot of peace. There was not a lot of fighting going on prior to October 7th and prior to the Biden-Harris administration coming in and taking over after. And remember, Donald Trump had the Abraham Accords. Trump was with us. He has said it many times. He said it on this very show. You have to have your head examined if you're Jewish and you continue to vote Democrat. They have made it very clear that they are pro-Hamas, pro-Gaza, while kind of straddling the fence with, Israel, of course, they have the right to defend themselves. No. This is what happens. You went in there on October 7th. You did what you did. And look, I don't want to see innocent people, civilians, children killed. But Stocker, you've said this in the past. I think a majority of people in, call it Palestine.
Yes.
But a majority of people support what
Hamas.
The mission is.
Yes, they do. It's like 70% or something like that. It might be actually over 70%. It's an astronomical amount. Don't believe all those, crap polls that you see about this stuff. There's actually real polling that shows the support that the majority of the Palestinians have for what Hamas did on October 7th.
Yes. So that was one of the explosions. And again, there are hundreds and thousands of people that were all simultaneously, you know, the victims of these pager detonations. And then, of course, there's the aftermath, you know, people being rushed to the hospital. And I saw this footage on television last night, and it was just astounding. Phil, this is clip K2. This is probably 2 minutes long. We will not play you all 2 minutes, but if we can just roll maybe like the first 20 or 30 seconds here, you'll see just people all over the place in hospitals, scattered all over the place. I mean, there's wounds. You've got people with, you know, blood all over their face. Stocker, you mentioned one guy looked like he lost his entire abdomen from where the pager exploded. I mean, this is pure chaos and carnage in a section of the world that has been fighting this needless, endless battle now since, I don't know, the beginning of time. And you just watch some of the footage here. I mean, there's just, I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible to see, like, you know.
Of course, there's audio to this, but it's a different language, so it's really pointless because nobody can understand what's being said anyway. But, I mean, you got people bandaged up, blood everywhere. And Dawn, I know you clarified. So the official confirmation of how this was executed was how? Because I have the two theories here, but it's dated because you gave us the update.
Well, first of all, the update today is that the one company that their apparently their logo was being identified as that they were the company who creates this. They have put out a statement and said, we actually, this is not our pager. We have nothing to do with this.
Okay.
We know nothing about it. Yesterday, initially, the reports were that the batteries were exploding after the devices were somehow hacked. The latest is that, in fact, the Israelis intercepted the devices amid shipment and then planted each device with some type of explosive, but that could be detonated. So it was a detonation.
Right.
That's why it was this coordinated situation across Lebanon that these were exploding across the country.
Yeah, the way the Daily Mail wrote this yesterday, it says, it's not currently clear exactly how the explosions happened. The two main theories being bandied about by security experts are, first of all, some believe that Israel, through its shadow Mossad intelligence agency, managed to send out a mass cyber attack that overheated the lithium-ion batteries of the pagers, while others believe Mossad was able to slip into Hezbollah's supply chain, sneaking explosive material into the pagers as they were manufactured, which would later be triggered by a mass message to the devices. So there you go. And you know, when you look at this again, as I said, economy, border, and war, like, this should be an easy layup talking point for Donald Trump, for Republicans, for J.D. Vance, for any surrogate out there. And you don't even have to be super pro-Israel if you're the Republicans and talk about, well, who started it and going back at the history. All you have to do is say, and you can take it from a bipartisan approach and say, under me, I will once again restore and bring peace to the Middle East. I did it before. I'll do it again. I gave you the Abraham Accords. Really, Trump should be saying, everything that I did the first time, I can do again. You want the border more secure? You want those numbers lower? Vote for me. You want gas down to 2-something a gallon? You want inflation at 1.7%? I'll do it again. Vote for me. You want peace? You want Russia, Ukraine, that conflict over? You want Israel, Hamas over with? Vote for me. I will restore peace.
This is an amazing, I mean, just think of the next level tactical mission that Israel did for this. It's amazing.
I've never seen anything like this before.
It is something out of a movie.
And it's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, absolutely it is, but it's like, it's brilliant, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all have our electronics. We all have our devices.
I love it.
I'm just thinking, man, I hope my phone doesn't go off.
By the way, Road Warrior writes on Twitter, the Mossad just sent the demoralizing message, we will find you, we found these guys, you're easy. So,
well, and that's a piece of it. It's not just physical, that It's also psychological warfare. But
sure.
Hezbollah, now militant group considered a terrorist organization, they are promising to retaliate against Israel after accusing them of detonating those pagers across Lebanon yesterday.
Yep.
Just level. Don't make me go on another rant. Just level that area.
Yeah.
Just be done with them.
You should take over for Lloyd Austin.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
855-839-1210, the phone number. We'll come back, get to what's on the cut sheet. It is super juicy from a very busy day yesterday, and you'll hear all of the sound bites coming up next. But first, a word from my friends at Piazza Volkswagen. Recently stopped out to Piazza VW, and we checked out the new 2024 Tiguan. This turbocharged SUV features 4Motion all-wheel drive with active control. With the turn of a dial, you are able to switch between 4 different modes to fit your current driving conditions or perhaps your driving mood. And perhaps, best of all, it's available right now. Very financially affordable. 0% APR for 60 months or a $2,000 customer bonus. How about that? $2,000. Bang. Just like that. Now's the time to visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne to learn more about the new Tiguan. And oh, by the way, third row. Come on. We all love third row, right? There's not a lady out there that doesn't love third row. Shop online, PiazzaVW.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
John Fetterman, the voice of reason for Democrats and progressives when it pertains to the Middle East, he screenshotted a picture of the New York Times with the headline, "Hamas is surviving war with Israel. Now it hopes to thrive in Gaza again." To which Fetterman captioned it by saying, "No idea why the New York Times would platform this propaganda from a terrorist. Undoubtedly, Israel will hold him accountable. Hamas is no different than World War II Nazis, and I fully support Israel's commitment to neutralize them."
Wow.
How about that?
John Fetterman. Times. Man.
Rag. Oh, nice work out of Fetterman. All right, let's get to a Wednesday edition of What is on That Cut Sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
Yes, what's on the cut sheet, sponsored by, which you will not hear on WHYY, because they don't compete for ad dollars and ratings points. Well, they compete for ratings points. They take ratings points because they're taxpayer funded. I mean, they don't literally take them. They, you know what I mean. I bring it. What's on the cut sheet is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back to school savings. If you're just tuning in now, you missed the rant at 7:15. Sorry. Enjoy back to school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for $369 per month. Down payment, registration fee, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for being a wonderful sponsor to 1210 WPHT and helping us get what we do out there. Okay, Trump was in Michigan last night. By the way, huge crowd there in Michigan.
Yeah?
What's the current polling coming out of Michigan? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've got the Real Clear Politics battleground averages.
Yep.
Harris is up 0.7 of a point.
Hmm.
0.7 of a point. Trump now leading Pennsylvania, but Harris 0.7, sir.
Trump hit on a lot of subjects yesterday. We're just going to go through a couple of them here. Phil, if you want to start with cut 20, talking about death penalty for drug dealers, the drug problem that is happening in this country. We know, especially in Michigan. I mean, you know, you see these fentanyl problems and all this stuff. It's, you know, it's a huge problem. There's probably not a family around that is not, you know, one step removed from some sort of drug addiction. This is cut 20, Phil. Go.
So, over the last couple of years I've been talking about the border. I got elected in 2016 because of the border. But that border was peanuts compared to what this border is. That border was like a safe border compared. And I did it. I did a great job. And it also includes drugs came to, you know, much lower. Look, unless you have the death penalty for drug dealers, you'll never get rid of the drug problem. Put that through your head, okay? Put that through your head. And I don't know if our country's ready for it. When I was with President Xi, and again, I had, until COVID, I had a great relationship. Once that happened, I really didn't want a relationship because $60 trillion, millions of dead people all over the world. I was not exactly thrilled with him. But before that, I had a great relationship. And I said, do you have a drug problem? No, 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 we have no drug problem. Oh, how come? Death penalty, immediate. I said, what does that mean, immediate? Immediate. We have what's called a quick trial. Do you know what a quick trial is? Like in one day, the trial is over. Over here, it'll be 25 years. They'll get some nice liberal lawyer, and he'll have it tied up for 25 years. The guy dies of old age. So, but they have a death penalty. In Singapore, they have a death penalty. In a lot of countries, they have a death penalty. You sell drugs because the average drug dealer kills during his or her life 500 people. The average one. The big ones, much more. But when you hear that, you know, when people start to hear that, and I set up blue ribbon committees, I put, you know, nice people, dilettantes from New York and from Los Angeles, people that know nothing about drugs, and they're dealing with very smart people. These dealers are smart as hell, they're tough as hell, and they make a fortune. They make a fortune. And if you don't have the death penalty for drug dealers, you're just wasting your time. Now, we can keep it down, and we can do better than we're doing now, and a lot better than we're doing now, because what's happening now is out of control.
You know, I'm not totally opposed to that, to be honest. Obviously, you take weed off the table, that's a totally different situation. But the harder drugs, specifically, if you want to just zero in on specifically fentanyl, I'd have no problem with that. As somebody that's law and order, as somebody that believes in deterrence, that's the thing. Forget drugs even for a moment. We need to get back to a point in this country where you know darn well, if you commit Act X, you are going to be hit with a mandatory minimum. There are too many people. And the criminals aren't stupid. They know we are soft on crime right now over the last 4 years, which is why they feel like they can operate carte blanche and not get, you know, held accountable for what they do. That is another thing. So economy, border, wars, and then number four, crime. Get tough on it.
The auto industry, obviously a big resource for income for the state of Michigan. What did Trump say about the auto industry if he gets elected? This is Cut 21. Phil, go.
I'll tell you this, and I'll say this for Michigan. If I don't win, you will have no auto industry within 2 to 3 years. It'll all be gone. And I know you got a little bit of an increase. It doesn't mean that's the small stuff because it's just a temporary thing. Because you will not have any manufacturing plants. China is going to take over all of your business because of the electric car and because they have the material. We don't. What we have is a thing called gasoline. We have gasoline. We have so much gasoline, we don't know what to do. They don't have gasoline. So why are we making a product that they dominate? They're going to dominate. You will not have a car industry left, not even a little bit of a car industry. So, and you're going to have electric cars, but you're going to have 7%, you're going to have 9%, whatever it may be. And maybe someday the technology becomes so good that you can do more. I mean, you know, it's fine. But,
you know, it's so interesting. All the millions upon billions of dollars that this administration currently has spent on the whole EV phenomenon and how many charging ports are operational and created across this country. Is it 7 or 8, I believe, total? I mean, it's a total, you talk about just throwing money into the trash. I think now more than ever, you look at some of the markets right now. I mean, Ford is discontinuing things. Chevy, there's not this knockdown desire of, you know, I need to have an electric vehicle. And speaking, by the way, of the automobile industry, did you see that CNN has now come out and fact-checked the fact that Trump did not say bloodbath on the streets?
Well, that was my thought when he was talking about the auto industry.
Right.
I'm glad he didn't say bloodbath because that would they would have taken it out of context and, you know, we would have been hearing every other break that ad.
And they have now come out and said that he was referring to a bloodbath in the automobile industry. Shocking.
But what he's doing is he's weaving together some major issues. So in courting the union vote, explaining what a lot of union leadership does understand, that although the Biden-Harris administration is trying to say, well, wait a minute, we're guaranteeing these jobs, and as far as EVs, we've been tough. What he's saying is this is a bait and switch. In other words, right now up front, yeah, it looks good. But look down the road a little bit. We all know that these EVs mean the end of your union jobs. And then on top of it, he's putting in there, weaving in the fact that gasoline, that if we are energy independent, and that speaks to, you know, the entire nation, but energy speaks to Pennsylvania voters.
Yep.
And so he's weaving together in an, I think, in a pretty common sense way, kind of a down to earth way, to say energy and union jobs and manufacturing, this all goes together.
That's correct.
He also talked about unrealized capital gains, the economy, and businesses. This is cut 22, Phil Goep.
Unrealized capital gain tax. That will drive every business out of the United States. So what that is I don't know how they can possibly administer. The only ones that are going to make money are appraisers and accountants. So they're taking a business, might have not a lot of money, but it might have great land, and they're valuing it. And what was it this year compared to next year? You got to put down a value, and then you got to go out and you have to pay tax, even though you haven't sold anything. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I don't know how any rich person or any person that's in business can even think of supporting her. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. So, and they're going to raise the capital gains tax, Willie, a lot. Now, as far as regular, people are going to have to pay a lot more tax. Your taxes, she said, 70 to 80%. Some people will pay 70, 80%.
You know, it is amazing, too, especially for the small business owners out there. I gave you the story 2 weeks ago after Harris rolled out these absurd economic policies. You know, even common sense Democrats like Ro Khanna from California, Mark Cuban saying, you're a small business owner, you're going to be forced to sell your business. And now Phil just gave me this story during the break. Billionaire hedge funder John Paulson says if Kamala Harris wins the election, he'll yank his money from the market because a recession is all but a certainty. How about that? She's going to be bad for the economy. You think it's rough now on the cost of living? It's only going to get worse. I mean, that is one thing you can give the mainstream media credit for. The moment she started talking about the price gouging with the grocery stores, the capital gains taxes, she is going to be an economic nightmare. I hope you've been saving up for a rainy day, folks, because it's about the rain.
Dawn's gal, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was she a moderator? What was she? I don't know what she was.
She is one of the newer surrogates coming out, and she'll be... Here she's campaigning with Trump, and much like we had Governor Burgum at the event in Chester County, Westchester last week that I attended,
they're
putting out a lot of different governors to go into places like Pennsylvania. So sometimes she'll be with Trump, sometimes she'll be by herself.
I feel like they need to stop talking about people, women who don't have children, because I think it's a really bad talking point for them. Cut 19, Phil, go.
So my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble.
It's just not helpful.
Yeah,
it's
you know what? Helpful. If you listen to that...
It's not helpful.
I listened to the whole speech.
No, of course you did.
She never says, you know, the next thing she said after that was talking about Kamala Harris's... The next line is something like, After nearly 4 years of failed policy, you know, what can she be proud of, or something to that effect? She never says she doesn't have kids. So there,
she says she doesn't have kids keeping her humble, right? Didn't she say?
She
unfortunately,
didn't say
Kamala Harris doesn't
has
have
nothing,
kids keeping her humble.
Is that what she just said? Play it again.
Play it again, Phil.
Kids keep me humble.
My kids keep me humble.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble.
Okay.
Keeping her humble. She goes on to say, after four years of failed policies, ...
So her kids keep her humble and my kids keep me drunk.
So,
I mean, Kamala Harris has stepkids, right? So, like, you know, like, just because they're not birth kids, you know what I mean? Like, look at the Ziolis. You know what I mean? Like they're still their kids. So stop.
She never said she doesn't have kids. If you listen to the whole, I didn't even catch that. If you listen to the entirety, don't get your news from Grabian. If you listen to the entire speech, to play back on you, I think that she never said that. She never actually said that. If that's a little jab, then she can definitely say, I never said she didn't have kids. Kamala Harris never raised a family.
She
got married at 50, and she's right. Just celebrating her 10-year anniversary. Good for her. She found love late in life. That's fantastic. But she never raised... I will say the fact is she never had adopted or raised any children.
Okay,
she
but
didn't.
Where do you guys think this whole family dynamic issue is coming from? Forget which side you're on, what's good strategy, what's bad strategy, what can win an election, where do you think this is stemming from? I mean, because like we've seen, like, and yeah, I got married when I was 12. I get it. I started dating Kristen at 18. I got married at 24. I had kids at 30, and at 36, I wanted to blow my brains out. So it's stages of 6 years apart. But like everybody goes about, you know, creating a family differently, right? Some people get married later in life. Some people have kids later in life, but. Where do you think this is all stemming from? Well, let's take Kamala's verbiage here. What is the root cause of this riff or political discord between the right with the, you know, Harrison Butker, homemaker?
Because Kamala Harris is a phony. Right. She is phony and concocted about everything.
I don't disagree with that.
She's claiming. I mean, apparently she's not in office, and she's gonna. So she talks about the border as if she's been to the border. Everything about her is a lie.
No, I get
and
that.
So for Kamala Harris to talk about families or babies or children or this and that. No, she never did raise a family. That is a fact, but that's not
that
the context. That's not the context. I never said she was a bad person. The context here, if you listen to and you inferred because of a clip you listened to, if you saw the whole speech and you listened to it in its entirety, you might not even catch that little part because she never says Kamala never had kids. Her point is...
She said, my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala has nothing that keeps her humble.
And then what was the next line? The next line is about 4 years of failed policy. That's the next thing out of her mouth.
But where do you think this... Let's take a step back. Like, you go from J.D. Vance's childless cat lady comments, which I'm not ripping him for. Like, I thought it was hilarious. But where do you think this whole who has a family, who doesn't, who does it the traditional way, who does it the new way, where is this coming from? Right? Whether it's left attacking right, right attacking left. Like, we know that the single career-oriented businesswoman out there is Trump's bugaboo, right? That's the one demographic that Trump really struggles with. But where do you think these talking points come from both sides? Like, are we just trying to reimagine the organic family? Like, I'm just trying to figure out where this emanated from.
No, I think this is Kamala Harris, the reinvention of Kamala. Okay, so she was a prosecutor. She was very, there's a thing out there with a mom, by the way, who talks about when Kamala was a prosecutor. And how she actually she denies this, but she actually put people in jail for the fact that their children were truant, never even checking that the one lady who went to jail, her daughter has sickle cell anemia, has sickle cell and was hospitalized. And that's why her daughter was very sick. So Kamala, the truth is that she is accused by her own constituency of being apathetic, of being out of touch, of being in a bubble. And being this privileged individual who now without and think about how she became the candidate for the president of the United States of America. It wasn't through the normal process. Right. Mm-hmm. And so here she is, the reinvention of Kamala Harris. Oh, she's a mom. She's about families. She's this and that. Everything about her, because she's chameleon Kamala, is a lie. She is concocted. And so I think people who are authentic, who are just real individuals living their lives, are looking at her and saying, no, you don't get to hijack something to make yourself look a different way. Be you. You be you.
But I would argue that this whole family conversation and who has kids, who doesn't, why it's a good thing, why it's a bad thing, this was a talking point when Joe was still atop the ticket. And when you look at the two families, Biden or Trump, neither family is the Brady Bunch. So I'm trying to like think back to when this like was this somewhere in 2022? Was this like during the first Trump tenure? Was this during the Obama days? Like, when did this become like, because I've never really looked at any family, and maybe I'm just looking at this as a layman from just taking the political stuff out of it and going to a friend's house or a family member's house and sitting there saying, wonder why they never had kids. Like, why does anybody care who has kids, who doesn't, who gets married at 20 or who gets married at 60? I'm just wondering, when did this become such an important political
category? Well, as far as politics, it's because the American family, the traditional family, the faith-based family is under fire.
Oh, I agree.
By this administration, by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Yes.
You look at the executive orders that he signed, you look at what is happening, what is a woman? And so here's somebody who's trying to look more mainstream and trying to look like, I've raised a family and I've balanced a home family budget and I'm just like you. No, you have your journey and we have ours. But to claim, and I think I'll just say it, you know, when you've given birth to kids or adopted and gone through other birth canals and you've had a family and raised a family and had sleepless nights and then do your family budget and you've lived that life and somebody comes along, you see a phony, somebody who's trying to say, oh, I'm just like you. I'm a mom mm-hmm. just like you. No, you're not. And that's okay. You be you. But don't try to disguise yourself in this inauthentic way and lie. And she lies about everything. Everything about her is a lie. It's concocted, and the media never calls her out.
You're preaching to the choir. I agree with you that. Joe says on Twitter, this became a talking point when birth rates for females went down from the average female averaging 4.7 kids birthed in a lifetime to 2.78. So I guess, and I'll just take Joe on Twitter for his word, that the birth rate is down as far as people having kids. I'm assuming this is in this country, not globally.
All I'm saying is that that clip is going to be played everywhere, and it's not helpful for the GOP. That's all I'm saying.
Because they take this stuff out of context.
Okay.
And if you listen to the whole thing, she never says Kamala doesn't have kids.
So you listen to the whole thing, right?
I listen to the whole thing.
Okay, so that whole thing... What was she talking about in between there, Dawn, since you listened to this whole thing?
She goes into the thing about her kids. She actually told a really funny little anecdote about her daughter.
So it was all about
it was really cute.
It was all about
her kids, family, keeping her humble.
And
then she goes on to Kamala Harris,
deal, right? Not being such a big deal.
Kamala Harris has nothing keeping her humble, and especially when you look at her last 4 years of her failures. That's what she goes into.
Okay.
Kamala Harris's failures.
Look, I'm not in the business of sticking up for Kamala Harris. Trust me. All I'm saying is that this is when you're 48 days from an election, it's not helpful. It's just not helpful. Whether she meant to say it or not, or whether she, you know, what Dawn is saying is true, that clip is played and it's, you know, people are pissed off.
Yeah, I would just say to anybody, play the rest of the clip.
Nobody's going to do that.
Because they take everything that a conservative woman like Governor Huckabee Sanders, because they hate her, Anderson Cooper, I mean, what he has said about her is horrifying. They hate conservative women. They hate moms like Sarah, who's out there and somehow was able to juggle a life with young kids, a job. That's what, you know, trying to deal with a family and raising a family and bearing children. Do you know how difficult that is? That is difficult. And so for some phony baloney to come along and say, oh yeah, I'm just like you. And then to hate on Sarah pisses me off.
Boom.
Dawn is Sarah-splaining. Sarah-splain.
I'm not Sarah-splaining.
Pro tip to everybody out there wanting to do radio, when one of your colleagues is on a heater, you don't jump on them, you let them keep going. That's how you create radio.
Or you throw a grenade and sit back and let somebody's head explode, which is what I do on a daily basis.
Or you put a pager on somebody's belt and then blow them up.
Yeah, I just put a pager in
You just put a
on
pager
Dawn's
in
belt.
Dawn's studio.
Kamala Harris was at the garbage HYY studios yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to have a poll question today. Who had the better rant? Stalker on WHYY or Dawn about Sarah defending Sarah? Or we can throw in my evisceration of Gary from the Dominican Republic last week. Poll question.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, the ABC biased news. You wonder why why his ratings are down. Here's a headline, ABC News. Huckabee Sanders says Harris lacks humility from raising biological children. Now, Greg Stocker just played that clip twice.
Yep.
Did Sanders ever say biological children, birth children? No, she did not. Did she ever say Harris lacks humility? Did she ever say that? She never said those words. And in fact, Greg, you yourself, who cut that clip, you inferred, it got into your head that she said the words, Kamala has no kids. She never said it. And so this is what the so-called mainstream, this is a sin, by the way. This headline by ABC News is horrible. And we all need to call it out. They're liars.
World News Tonight just took another 12% dip.
She never said that. Never said it. I mean, that, you know, imagine if they turned that around and put words in the mouth of Kamala, they'd all be erupting, having a hissy fit.
By the way, Sarah's looking good these days.
She survived, you know, she survived the cancer last fall and, you know, is recovering and, you know.
By the way,
I'm happy for her.
EKZ, who's healthy on the YouTube chat, who's absolutely no fan of mine, says Donna's sounding like a bad lawyer right now. See, you got too much love yesterday. That's all I'm saying. You got too much love yesterday. I had to.
Checks and balances. Huh,
I got what love?
All the voicemails were like,
oh, I know.
Greg does this, Nick does that, Dawn is perfect.
By the way, I took that under advisement. No analogies from me today.
Mr.
Voicemail Correction Guy.
Hey, Mr. Voicemail Correction Guy.
Sometimes you got to take inventory of your own brand.
All right. I would say I'm an excellent lawyer because Greg was claiming that she said the words, Kamala doesn't have kids, and I said, play it again. He played it again, and I proved my case that she never said Kamala does not have kids. But people are inferring that because the headlines...
She said, kids keep me humble.
She said, my children keep me humble.
Kamala Harris has nothing that keeps her
now
humble.
Now she's going to the next sentence where she says, but the problem is you know you cut it off. So let's play the clip starting with the term Kamala Harris has nothing to keep her humble. Now play the rest of it, because it's a new thought. That's my point. It's a new thought. She has nothing to keep her humble.
Why don't you play it?
...
Since you're, you know...
Because if you look at her
I like that everybody looks at me like, play this, play that. Like, why don't you play it?
No, I'm telling you that the point is they're putting these clips out there and they're edited in such a way where they cut them off and they take them out of context.
Would Dawn be a great prosecutor? 855-839-12.
All right, let's move on. This is...
No, you guys can have at it.
I'm going back and forth, and this is...
Sitting here, smile, eat my berries.
What kind of berry?
I don't care either way because I think Kamala Harris is awful. I just like watching Dawn get all defensive over Sarah Huckabee Sanders when she said something that she probably shouldn't have. That's all I'm saying. Cut three.
You had to get the last word in. Did you hear that, Dawn? You had to get the last word in again. You guys are great.
Cut three. Kamala Harris spoke to the National Black Journalists yesterday, HYY. She was asked if people are better off than they were 4 years ago. And she was asked, this was the first question she was asked in the debate, if you guys remember. Okay. And remember, she pivoted.
Yep.
She pivoted again. The question is either yes or no,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like yes, and here are the reasons why. Mm-hmm. No, and here are the reasons why.
Yep.
What did she say? Cut three, Phil Goat.
Are they better off now than they were 4 years ago?
So when we came into, well, first of all, let me just say, it is good to be with the National Association of Black Journalists, and I thank you for the work you do and that your members do every day. It is very important that we ensure that this organization and your members always have the resources and the platforms to deliver the voices that must be heard. So I thank you for hosting me today. 4 years ago, when we came in, during the worst unemployment since the Great Depression. We came in during the worst public health epidemic in centuries. We came in after the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And a lot of it due in large part to the mismanagement by the former president as it relates to COVID and obviously January 6th. And we had then a lot of work to do to clean up a mess. As of today, we have created over 16 million new jobs, over 800,000 new manufacturing jobs. We have the lowest black unemployment rate in generations. We have invested in small businesses, and they're to the benefit of many people, but including black small businesses, some of the highest rate of creation of new black small businesses in years.
So now democracy and January 6th impacts the economy. It's fascinating. And then they continue to use COVID as an excuse. First of all, the jobs, most of them are bounce back jobs. Some of them are government jobs. And a lot of them are part-time jobs. How many job reports have to come out on a month-to-month basis where 6 weeks later, 9 weeks later, 3 months later, oh, you know what, correction, these jobs did not exist, or they were drastically overinflated. And lastly, when you keep using COVID as an excuse, Trump should not be blamed for 2020. That was COVID. And I even give Joe and I've said this in the past. I give Joe and Kamala a little bit of a pass in 2021 when they take over, because that first set of useless vaccines didn't come out until March or April of 2021 for people like me to get, right? But after that, who is the party responsible for continued lockdowns, mandates, 25% capacity, 50% capacity at this restaurant? If my math is correct, if my calendar chronologically is correct, they didn't even lift the national health emergency for COVID until May of 2023. Democrats can't sit here and keep using COVID as the reason why the entire first term. No, it doesn't work that way. You don't get that pass for four straight years. And then specifically with jobs. You want to talk about, by the way, remember when Trump got criticized for saying, illegal immigrants are coming in here and they're taking black jobs? Well, Joe Biden just said the same terminology last week about, quote, black jobs. And everybody's like, well, what's a black job? What do you mean by that? Well, here's what I do know. You have disenfranchised people in marginalized communities across this country that have lost not only their place to live, their school community centers, their rec centers for illegal immigrants. So I would sit there and ask Kamala Harris, you and Joe have had 3 years and 10 months. What have you done for the black community? You haven't done anything. That's why I do believe, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I do believe Trump's going to get close to 20% of the black vote this time. From 6 to 12, I think he's going to be right around 20%. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. If it was only 14%, I'll say I overreacted.
Dawn's on the chat right now responding to everybody that's in her corner.
Yes. Fight. Fight. Fight.
It, we'll do it live. The question is, what will Kamala Harris do to improve the economy? Okay, that's the question by one of these the journalists here. What was her answer? You may ask, guys. Cut four. Phil, go.
They can just get their foot in the door to be able to then engage in what will prove to be their opportunity to build intergenerational wealth. And here's my personal experience coming at that. I grew up a middle-class kid.
Oh, there it is.
My mother was hardworking. She raised me and my sister, Maya. She saved up.
Saved up.
And it was there only it by the time I was a teenager that she could afford to,
all right, you
to
can
actually
stop
buy.
You can
stop
as we've debunked, her mom is a some sort of scientist. Her dad is a Stanford professor. So growing up in the 70s, I would argue you were not even close to middle class. Now, here's what I don't know is, what are her parents? Were her? And I guess it does kind of matter. Were her parents divorced or separated? Or because I know, Dawn, you mentioned something to the effect that she might have like some sort of like daddy issues or something.
Parents were divorced.
Okay, so I don't know. Maybe the dad didn't pay support. Whatever it is, and maybe the mom had to work. Whatever. Blah blah blah.
She's estranged from him, right?
Yeah, it's a very again. Well, and you know, it's funny. You go back to the family dynamic, not to reignite the Stensland Stalker wars of radio again, but you talk about that family dynamic. So she comes from one sort of family. She's now a part of another family. So it is really interesting that she would lecture people on families. I'm actually going to come to the aid of Dawn here. The more I think about it, if she grew up in a family where the dad was not a part of the life,
yeah,
and then she ends up not having kids, and I'm not criticizing her for that. Hey, you do whatever you want. I mean, there's days I wish. Anyway, you know, you talk about her current arrangement with Dougie Boy.
Yeah,
you know, maybe she's not the one to be lecturing Americans on how to go about, you know, raising a family or creating a family. But then again, I grew up in a divorced family, too. I turned out to be a stud. So what are you going to do?
Asked about the, you know, the African American male vote seems to be going to Trump, or at least there's a large portion of it there. She was asked about that. This is cut five. Phil, go.
But polling shows that some black men, particularly young black men, are considering voting for Donald Trump, and they see him as better for the economy. What is your message to young black male voters who feel left out of this economy, and how can your economic policies materially change their lives?
So I appreciate the spirit of the question, but I'll tell you, I've often been asked this question in a way that I've had to respond by first saying that I think it's very important to not operate from the assumption that black men are in anybody's pocket.
Can we pause this for a second? I know that it's about to get really juicy here, but do you hear her right now? She got a sinus infection, a cold. She's just really, really like low energy, almost like brain fog. And I know people were, I try not to run with things on social media, but you know, people were saying like, what is going on with her yesterday in this presentation that she was involved in? She sounds even off by her standards, and I'm not sure she's ever on, to be accurate. You notice that so far, listening to her? Am I the only one picking up on this?
She's always nasally.
Yeah, but this, I mean, just, Phil, if we could just restart this from the beginning. Just listen to her in the first 10 seconds here.
But polling shows that some black men, particularly young black men, are considering voting for Donald Trump, and they see him as better for the economy. What is your message to young black male voters who feel left out of this economy, and how can your economic policies materially change their lives?
So I appreciate the spirit of the question, but I'll tell you, I've often been asked this question in a way that I've had to respond by first saying that I think it's very important to not operate from the assumption that black men are in anybody's pocket. Black men are like any other voting group. You got to earn their vote.
Who said they weren't?
So,
is it racist for her to say that?
Mm-hmm. Not assuming I'm going to have it because I am black, but because the policies and the perspectives I have understands what we must do to recognize the needs of all communities.
All right, you can stop it.
I mean, percentage-wise, yes, Democrats historically, traditionally, do get a majority of African-American voters. But you look at Trump, I mean, in 16, he had 6%. In 20, he goes to 12%, so that's a double. I don't think he's going to double it to 24 or 25%. But I do think 20% is in play. But even if it's 18%, even if he goes up another 6%, that is very much enough. That is absolutely enough to win Pennsylvania, to win Georgia, to win any of the battleground states. I mean, we're talking, you know, 4 years ago, three states, 42,000 votes. 6% is a major, major bump for Trump. Now extrapolate that.
Yeah.
Take 6% more of the black vote. Where is he at with Hispanic votes? Where is he at with the Jewish vote? You go through all the different demographics, a little bump here, a little bump there, a little bump there. That's enough to get you across the finish line as a victor.
To me, what Kamala Harris is admitting here is that she's admitting that she does not have the black male vote. That's really what I read into this.
Agreed. Yep.
No, she's got the liberal white 50 male vote, right?
Well, the African American female vote she has overwhelmingly.
Yes. But
the black male vote.
Right.
She knows.
Yep.
She's in trouble there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got the Tim Walzes of the world when it comes to males, right? I saw those people out at Scottish Rite Auditorium last week protesting as I was pulling up.
Boy.
Jumping around, flailing.
Like Collingswood, can I just say this? Collingswood was not happy that we were there.
No.
They were not happy we were there.
I mean, I'm pulling in. I'm like, wow, look at this. We got cops and this agent and this protection.
And have some more meetings about this.
12 people. And by the way, you know, it's not like they were hostile. They were there with their little goofy fanny packs and, you know, their signs that they used at the local dollar store to buy the poster board. I'm going to grab a couple of Sharpies.
Look, I'm all for protesting.
Oh, protest, great. Knock yourself
protest
out.
Your heart out. That's why this is the greatest country in the world, because we can do that without being thrown off a building. But just the fact that they're so triggered that somebody is in their town that they don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, God, give me it. Just stop, dude. Uh-huh. Stop.
Yep. The protesters.
Yeah, just oh, man. Collinswood's a lovely town. Yeah. I don't know how it votes, but, like, you know, all views welcome here.
Yeah. I did a little reconnaissance work as I was pulling in. I rolled my window down and I just looked down. I'm like, okay. I would say roughly between 48 to 62-year-old white male and female liberals.
Yeah.
That was the 12 to 15 that showed up to heckle us.
She was asked about Republicans mocking her laugh and joyful demeanor. Just like these are just, I don't know if you guys remember the way these journalists asked Trump questions, but
they were hospitable and very polite.
I believe these were the exact same questions asked of
same
Trump.
Same thing. Fair and balanced.
Cut eight, Phil, go.
Before we conclude, Madam Vice President, Joyful Warrior has been used to describe
your
campaign.
You didn't see that just a minute ago, though. Okay, back to my joyful part.
And your opponent and Republicans have at times weaponized. You laughing in campaign ads, for example. Why is joy important to you to insert into this election? And what do you make of Republicans using that as a way to suggest that you're not a serious candidate?
Well, sometimes I think, and I'll say to whoever the young people are who are watching this, there are sometimes when your adversaries will try and turn your strength into a weakness. Don't you let them. Don't you let them. Mm-hmm. I find joy in the American people. I find joy and optimism in what I see to be our future and our ability to invest in it. I find joy in the ambition of the people. I find joy in the dreams of the people. I find joy in building community. I find joy in building coalitions. I find joy in believing that the true measure of the strength of a leader is not based on who you beat down, but who you lift up. And I think we should all find joy and have a sense of optimism about who we are as Americans and what we mean to each other and what we can do to lift each other up.
Well, there she was, folks, talking to adults, not Mrs. Anderson's fifth grade class. I mean, my God, it sounds like she's talking to a bunch of infants in there. I find joy in this, and never let somebody knock down the joy that you have in your personality. I don't find anything joyous about the last 4 years.
Would you guys like to hear how the first question out of the box for them with Trump?
Yeah, can we do a compare and contrast?
A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Okay. Wow. Phil, can you play cut eight one more time?
Let's hear question here.
Just the question.
Before we conclude, Madam Vice President.
Before we conclude.
Joyful Warrior has been used to describe
you
your
didn't
campaign.
See that just a minute ago, though. Okay, back to my joyful part.
And your opponent and Republicans have at times weaponized you laughing in campaign ads, for example. Why is joy important to you to insert into this election? And what do you make of Republicans using that as a way to suggest that you're not a serious candidate?
Wow. Awesome.
Well, she's not a serious candidate because she can't come out and do a bunch of interviews. She can't go into hostile territory. And more importantly than that, because that's only part of it, she can't expound upon or explain her positions on policies. She can't go anywhere beyond words like opportunity economy. Because when she does, those who are basically paid to be on her side obliterate her in the media and say, yeah, Kamala, I might want to walk that one back. There's some communist nations that have tried that in the past, and it's blown up in their face. But, you know, Who knows? She could win because we live in a dumb world.
That's it. We'll get to Bruno. We have a lot more stuff, but I didn't get to it because Dawn and I had to argue.
Yeah. You guys going to kiss and make up?
No, she's not. She's ignoring me
she's
right
now.
She's
not happy with you? She's going to ignore you? Okay. All right.
Well, listen to that.
What?
She's not talking right now.
I thought she... Oh, okay.
Dawn, this is a radio show, my love.
Dawn's boycotting. All right,
just trying to
next.
Create entertaining radio, sweetie.
All right, here we go. Speaking of entertaining, the man, the myth, the legend, Tony Bruno is going to join us. You think today's been a whirlwind 2.5 hours? As Joe Biden once said,
ain't seen nothing yet.
Bruno, next here on Kaley Company.
NFL Week 3 is here. NFL Week 3 is here, and you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook, new to FanDuel. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Looking ahead to Thursday night, the New England Patriots versus Phil Omquist's New York Jets and Sean Farish's New York Jets. How about a Breece Hall for an anytime touchdown? And on the over rushing yards, and Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go under on the passing yards. Try that same game parlay. Bet $200 bet $5 and you can win $200 in bonus bets. Don't bet $200. Bet $5 and you can bet $200 and you get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT and the NFL. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms of sportsbook.fanDuel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday, which means we ship it on down to Florida, and we say good morning to the man, the myth, the legend, the great Tony Bruno. What up, Mr. Bruno?
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to say I'm on Team Dawn. Sorry, Greg. You're way out of control. I get ripped all the time for shutting Robin down during heated debates about controversial issues.
I didn't shut her down.
But let me just...
She spoke way more than I did.
Let me start...
Sorry.
Let me start off by saying this. Uh-huh. I grew up in a middle-class family. My immigrant mother raised me and my two sisters. She worked very hard sewing military uniforms at the quartermaster in South Philly. She was not able to save up for a home to buy us a smaller second home when I was 11 years old. I grew up a community of hardworking people, construction workers, nurses, teachers, bookies. I tried to explain this to people who may not have had the same experience I did growing up in a neighborhood where people were very proud of their very clean front steps, which my mother would go out on Saturday mornings with bleach and Comet and scrub down to bring them back to their native, beautiful, clean, white look. That's my message. Vote for me or vote for Pedro. You make the call. I actually transcribed, and Robin helped me. I took the Kamala Harris thing, and I actually made it personal. What I said in mine was more factual than what Kamala Harris is saying in hers.
Yes.
True.
See how easy it is to run for the highest office in this country? You just read from
a prepared
statement.
I already have a better platform than Kamala Harris, but I don't want to run for president. By the way, Philadelphia, guys, is now ground zero for Kamala Harris's two major fiascos. The incident, of course, with Brian Taft at 6ABC, which they buried on a Friday so nobody could see it over the weekend as football cranked up again, right?
Yep.
The fact that she said things like, you know, that was a mess with Brian Taft. Everybody will agree
no
with that,
question.
Right?
No question.
And apparently they edited it down and fine. Brian Taft did a good job. He asked her questions and she gave the same answers. And then yesterday at Y, as I call it, not WHYY, why the hell is she talking to the journalist? But geez. Anyway, it's a disaster. Yet she'll still win Philadelphia with 90% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing thing about this.
Yep.
If you think Kamala Harris is legitimately capable of being the president of the United States, you need to start calling a psychiatrist, a psychologist, someone in their family to talk some sense into you. It's not about me being for Trump and against Kamala. Anybody who thinks Kamala is capable is really stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's not my style to call names. I'm not like Howard Stern. I'm not saying I don't like Kamala Harris. I just don't like this. This is the equivalent of Howard Stern. And I'm not comparing myself to Stern because he's got a gazillion dollars in a bank. This is the equivalent of me saying, I don't hate Kamala Harris. I hate the people who vote for her. Imagine that. Imagine I have a SiriusXM show. I've made $400 million hiding in my mansion in Miami when I was a tough guy growing up. And now I become a wuss guy. And now I don't hate Kamala Harris. I hate all of you morons who will vote for her. That's basically what Howard Stern said about Donald Trump. He doesn't hate Donald Trump. He hates the people who vote for him, who are paying money to go listen to him on satellite radio.
Yeah.
That's the logic that we're hearing from these nitwits, once respected, I mean, absolute icons of the industry, now reduced to a puddle of mud. And whatever happened to puddle of mud? Are we going to play a Block of Rose coming up at 9 o'clock hour?
Phil will have that at 9:50.
And Dawn, I stand with you. I mean, even if I have to go to the wall, even if it means me being removed from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT by the man who hired me, I will stand behind you.
Thanks,
all the
John.
Way.
Thanks, baby.
Well, you've made your stance very clear that you're on Team Dawn.
I love it. Everybody's on Team Dawn. I want them to be on Team Dawn.
You're obviously on Team Trump when it pertains to risks and, trying to take the guy's life. Tony, I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm still triggered and angered. I mean, here in Florida, over the weekend, of course, not where you are, the other side of the coast, we have another attempt on his life. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't add up from the cameras of MSNBC rolling to the guy being in the bushes for 12 hours. And on top of it, Trump was a late addition to a tea sheet. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be there. And this guy randomly just picked out the right day and the right time. I'm not buying it, Bruno.
By the way, do you think Trump is like, there's two groups in front of him? Does he play through, or do you? I mean, how does it work at his own golf course?
You get up
on a Saturday morning. He's a member, of course, and he's also the owner, like the Hair Club for Men guy, you know. And he's the owner. Does he get to? What happens if he had moved ahead of a group and had actually been on the sixth hole?
That's right.
By the time they found that guy, and I've been on that road. I've been to the Trump properties. I haven't been to rallies, but I've been at Doral. I've been to Trump International. Been at the one in New Jersey for a wedding. And so, but you saw the pictures, right? It's on a road on one side of the property at Trump National.
Yep.
And there's a fence there, and MSNBC was, and people go there all the time with cameras, and it's just a cyclone fence hidden behind some bushes, but you can see right through it. Don't you think they should cover those up? Don't you think now? I mean, it's Trump's property. He's going to have to do something about it, but apparently people can see what's going on in the golf course. A lot of golf courses are like that. You know, but when you have the president, former president of the United States playing golf there, and nobody knows that he was teeing off, and this guy knew to wait the sixth hole,
yep.
It just doesn't make any sense. And Mayorkas is the guy. This is why Kamala Harris can't win. Because if she wins, Mayorkas stays, the FBI people stay, the CIA people stay, the Secret Service creeps in charge. They all have to go. These people have to go. We can't have these people remaining in power. Forget about Kamala. We know she's not going to run the government. But the fact that she will keep Mayorkas, the guy who's really destroyed the border, because he's telling Kamala Harris what to do while he goes on TV somberly and pretends that that everything's okay. This guy has no pulse. He doesn't care. He's got ice water running through his blood. I think we should send him a couple pagers today. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I saw people wearing pagers, it was Howard Eskin. He had three of them on the back of his back of his jacket. I'm not making that up. I'd go to events, and when I was living in Philly, I'd go to an Eagles game or Flyers game, and there's Howard Eskin walking around with three pagers on the back of his belt. Remember
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with you, Nick. I was listening earlier. I think we should bring pagers back.
Yep. Yeah.
Because this way we stay the hell off our phones, right?
Yep.
And then if somebody wants to send us a message, instead of us driving with our phone in our hands, glued to it while we're not paying attention, you just see the little text thing, call me, or 911, or there's somebody in the house, you know, and then you go to a payphone. We need to bring payphones back. We need to get rid of all cellular phones. Bring back pagers, and I will start my own pager company here in Southwest Florida, Tony's Pagers and Pastries. I'll do a combination bakery where I'll make the finest Italian baker. You know, I'll do the cannolis.
Okay.
I'll do the cream puffs.
Yeah.
I'll do the sfogliatelles.
Yeah.
I'll do a Zappoli. I'll do whatever you want.
Bruno's Beepers.
I got
beepers.
Luigi here. Bruno's Beepers and Biscotti. How about that? Beepers and Biscotti.
Speaking of which, have you lost weight? You're not eating any biscottis.
Yeah, you losing skinny. A little pounds?
No, I buy the Nonni's biscottis at Sam's Club. It's like 20, there's like 25 in there, and they're like $10. You go into a coffee shop, they'll charge you $3 for one of them. Uh-huh. You know the ones with the chocolate? Luis, can you bring me one of those Nonni's biscottis, please?
I'm in a
breakfast kind of mood.
Yeah. Well, I'm always in a breakfast mood. We never get food here. It's a different battle for a different day. I got to play you this, though, because this is amazing, right? So we're talking about the Trump stuff, and we talked about the media coverage of this, Tony. You know, a lot of these people, Cincinnati.com, The Washington Post, Politico. Well, we don't condone political violence, but Trump brings this upon himself. I played this earlier. I want to play this for you. This is from The Big Take. This is Chris Cuomo, of all people, formerly of CNN.
I saw it, yeah.
This is amazing. I can't believe we actually have one person in the, quote, mainstream media saying what everybody should actually be saying. I want to get your reaction to this. This is Chris Cuomo. Go ahead and play this, Phil.
But he doesn't deserve this. A guy pointing an AK-47 at him while he's playing golf? And we take solace in the fact that the guy didn't get any rounds off. That does not work for me. If I had been through what that guy's been through in the last 2 months, you would not know where I am. You would never see me on TV again. No way I would do that. I don't know how he does it. He's got kids. He's got grandkids. He's got a wife. People giving crap to Melania Trump, worrying about whether or not there was a plot around his husband. How could she not? I totally get why she feels that way, and people mock her. And then her husband has a guy pointed with an AK-47. Where are those people apologizing?
Now, I mean, how hard was that? Yet that is a rare moment from one person. When everybody else in the mainstream media, and Democrats included, continue to say, well, he kind of brings it on himself, Tony.
It's ridiculous. I mean, everybody, you know, it's about, I've always said the same thing, common sense. Common sense says that obviously they want Trump gone. And the fact that KJP yesterday, with being questioned hard by the guy at Fox. What's his name?
Ducey.
The blonde dude. Mm-hmm. Peter Ducey asking her questions. And then she actually doubles down and says, the president is still a threat to democracy. They don't want to stop. They don't care because nobody will. In fact, David Muir is going on that the week. What's that morning show now? You Kelly and Kelly Ripa used to do. And now I think she still does it with her husband now.
Yeah. Kelly and
he's
Mark.
He's on there looking on. Yeah. Kelly and whatever, Mark, whatever.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get on The View. He goes on the other ABC-sponsored show, Kelly and Mark, looking disheveled. He lost a million viewers after that debacle at ABC with the debate. So these people are, you know, they're not going to fire him. Nothing's going to happen to ABC. You had six ABC here. Nothing should happen to them. But I guarantee you the Democrats were not happy that that interview happened in Philadelphia with what's his name, Brian Taft.
Yeah.
Brian, who used to follow me and then blocked me years ago.
Oh, no.
So I don't know. I don't have any issues with Brian Taft. I hung out with him in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden, he blocked me.
Oh.
So I've got the media. I got the Philly media against me as well, but I will stand tall, and I will stand proud. I will fight. Not for the cherry and the white, because Temple stinks on dry ice.
Yes, they do,
sir. Let me make that perfectly clear right now.
Yes. And speaking of lack of fight, we got to get to the Eagles.
Let's get back to the Eagles, Nick.
You can look at Jalen Hurts. You can look at A.J. Brown being out. You can look at Barkley dropping the pass. You can look at the defense, Vic Fangio. What in the world happened in that second? I mean, they went from covering the game from a gambling standpoint to losing outright.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, even Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, when the Eagles had the ball down there, Atlanta's out of timeouts. And, you know, throwing the ball to Saquon Barkley, that ball should have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously, That's the game right there. Yep. Saquon, and I'm not going to get on Saquon. The guy's a stud. He played great. But the Eagles' defense is really the disappointing. And it all goes back to one thing. And I'm not a fire the coach guy. But the one common denominator, and Ruben Frank made it, broke it down brilliantly on NBC Sports Philadelphia on his Eagles breakdown after that game. The one common denominator that the Eagles last year, remember when they brought in an offense, they made DEI hires at the offensive and defensive coordinator positions, and then those guys didn't know what they were doing. They got off to a great start, and then the wheels fell off down the stretch. So they go out and they get new defensive, offensive coordinators, a whole bunch of new players. They go out there, and then they get run. Now, the Eagles' defense in the red zone was good. They were holding them to field goals. But the Eagles were being trounced. And that last drive, I don't know what Vic Fangio – Vic Fangio was probably slicing a boar's head deli meats up in the booth instead of watching the defense. He knew they had to go 70 yards to score a touchdown. Was he – he looked like a guy at a deli counter asking you, what else? What do you want? Give me a quarter pound of mortadella. Hey, Vic, don't make me another sandwich.
Slice
what
that
are you
thin,
doing
Tony. Slice
defense?
It thin.
Slice it extra thin. I want to see right through that boiled ham. I want to see right through that
Tony, is there anything, I'm glad you bring that up, is there anything worse than when you're at the deli and you got the person in front of you and they say, let me see it, and they look at it like, I need it a little thinner. I mean, what do you mean you need it thinner? Let's go.
Just give me a half a pound of boiled ham. When I used to go to the little delis in South Philly on Mifflin Street down there, I'd go in there and get half a pound of provolone, a half a pound of sliced turkey thin, and, of course, boiled ham, as we call it. Yeah. And I don't know why we have boiled ham. Who the hell boils ham?
Not me.
But anyway, you go into the deli, and it's boiled ham. It's ridiculous. Why do we boil the ham? And now we're boiling, by the way, here in Florida, two horses were eaten. They found out that there are two horses eaten in Miami.
Oh, no. Has Tim Walz been notified?
Listen, people eat livestock. They eat horses. We used to sell horse meat. Remember years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they were selling horse meat in New Jersey. It was legal to eat horse.
I did not know that.
Anyway, let's get it back to the Eagles. Here's the worst part for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Guess who they have coming up on the road?
I was fearful there was some Stormy Daniels joke coming there,
yeah,
so
no,
I was like,
No, we're not going there.
Yeah, you got the Saints. The Saints are coming up, Bruno.
Eating horse.
Yeah, so the Eagles, who blew a game at home that they should have won to be 2-0, and that's two home games, so they only have 6 home games left. They now have to go to the Saints on Sunday, where Derek Carr has been the best quarterback in football. He scores on every single drive. And I don't mean him personally. Every time he touches the ball, his team goes down and scores. They're a plus 62-point differential. So they got Derek Carr in New Orleans, and then the following week, week 4, at Tampa Bay, where the other guy, the quarterback there,
Baker Mayfield,
playing lights out.
Yes,
Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr are playing lights out so far in the season.
Yep.
Do you think the Eagle defense that we saw the other night is going to go into New Orleans and stop Alvin Kamara and all the weapons that they have in the Superdome?
Nope.
I mean, that's the scary thing. That's what's scary now, because the Eagles could very easily be 1-3 by the time they get to their bye week in week 4. They have a bye week in week 5. That may be a bye-bye week in week 5 if they go 1-3.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of bye-bye, so if it's scary for the Eagles to go to the Saints, I've got to imagine it's going to be scary for Diddy to go to the Slammer.
Oh, my God.
Do we officially thank Sean Puffy Combs for participating in free society?
By the way, I mean, who hasn't been to a freak-off? I've been to some freak-ons. You know, I used to get my freak on.
Like,
remember?
Missy Elliott,
And then we used to freak out. Freak out, le chic, c'est chic. Freak out. And then, of course, there's the Freak Nick that used to take place on South Street back in the day. Remember Freak Nick on South Street?
Yeah. Not Nick Cale.
No, that was my middle school nickname, by the way.
Freak Nick.
Freak Nick. Freak Nick.
By the way, Nick, Shafe on the YouTube chat wants to know, what do you put on horse meat?
I like a good dry rub, personally.
Mustard.
Thank you.
Oh, you can put a little.
Now, Miss Robin is on the chat. She said it's really sad. The horses belong to two children. The horses belong to two children stolen from their paddock and killed in a field close by, then butchered. And then the dad, who owned his horses for his two daughters, found the carcasses in his backyard.
Hmm. Bruno, I'm getting texts. By the way, I'm getting texts about your cannolis in South Philly. Do you have a favorite spot? Joe sent me a text saying, is it Termini's out of South Philly?
Termini's. Come on, man. It's Termini's. Come on, Nick.
You're
where
fired.
Did you come from?
That's it. You're fired. Get out of here, man.
Termini's, the original one on 11th Street in South Philly.
You can't
host the
radio
show. Reading Terminal. Sorry. There's Termini's everywhere. There's one down near the sports complex where Chickies and Pizza is down there.
Yep.
They're everywhere, Termini's. What's the matter with
What's
you,
the matter with you, man?
How are you?
Now we're all gonna pile on Nick. Like it.
Pile on me in the fourth hour.
By the way, I do not put Chick-fil-A sauce on my horse. I like my horse to dry rub like you do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They shoot horses, don't they?
Oh, yeah. When they can't race anymore, right?
There you go.
Exactly.
Shoot them in the head. Take him out back.
Shout out to Garden State and all my boys up there at Brandywine and all the other great former tracks, Atlantic City and all the great tracks in the Delaware Valley.
Somebody just said they lost all the respect they had for you, Nick. So.
Well. I'll get it back tomorrow.
I just want the heat off me for a second. Yeah, so I'm putting it on you.
Send your radio bullets this way.
The barrel's on you now.
Termini's is spelled Terminis. Termini's.
There you go.
One of the original bakeries in South Philly. Legendary spot. Yeah. There's other good ones now.
Yeah.
But the one thing about South Philly, there's no lack of great Italian bakeries.
Beach Chair says, Jesus Christ, how can you keep Nick?
Well, Beach Chair never liked me from the jump.
Okay.
Beach Chair's been a hater since the day I came into this spot.
Oh, that's good. At least
still listening just, 2 years later.
At least it's just not me.
Yeah.
By the way, the quick baseball note, the magic number for the Phillies is what, Nick?
Four. That's correct, sir.
Four. That win last night really puts the Phillies in good for home field advantage, a bye in the first round, because right now the Phillies are 91-60. They lead Milwaukee by 5 wins with 11 to go. And so the Phillies are 9-2 against L.A. and Milwaukee, the two other great teams in this division. Milwaukee's going to win the Central. Dodgers are going to win the West.
Tony, was that your pager?
This is from my pager. It doesn't fit. I have to keep scrolling. Do you ever have a pager? It used to scroll. My kids had pagers before there were phones.
Yeah.
So they could page me from the mall, from the Montgomery Mall, and then I can go and pick them up.
Yeah.
By the way, MGM guy says Nick starts at WHYY tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm the new morning guy on WHYY.
And he'll be calling it stale air instead of fresh air.
See what happens? I try to read a text on the air from our active listeners, and what do I get for it? I get Ungats.
Ungats.
No, it's Derek Carr, not David Carr. Derek Carr looks like he was just look at the quarterbacks who are now among the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek Carr looked terrible with the Raiders. Now he's got a good coach. He's got a good offense. He's moving around. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the Eagles, the next 2 weeks, I'm not saying they're going to lose both games, but if they don't get this defense tightened up and they don't get Antonio Brown back, they're going to have a hard time trying to go toe-to-toe with two teams that can score the football.
Is Sirianni in trouble? Because they're not going to blame somebody like the new hire, right? They're not going to blame
players who are under contract. Him and Howie. Well, no, but we know Howie's got a lifetime gig.
Sirianni's – Jeffrey Lurie doesn't fire coaches, especially a coach who's had three consecutive winning seasons.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is – you know, I don't think that he gets fired no matter what happens until the end. If this team goes into the tank and they can't get out of it and they're struggling, you can't keep changing coordinators. Teams that change coordinators every year seem to be losing teams. Vic Fangio, again, God bless him, but he's up there in a booth. And somebody should bring him a Primo's. Bring him a day. I want to see him eating a Primo's hoagie. In the Caesars Superdome on Sunday afternoon. When he takes the first bite out of one of those Primos, the turkey one where you put the cranberry sauce and when they make those babies. The gobbler.
The gobbler.
Yeah.
All right,
he's eating a gobbler, then the Eagle defense will be gobbling up the turf. God. I'm scary, man. I said Antonio Brown. Talk obviously. Yeah. Antonio Brown, by the way, a great follow on Twitter now. I don't know if you follow him.
Well, unfortunately, we've gobbled up all the time for this segment, Bruno, so we're going to have to bounce on out of here. But thank you very much.
Wait a minute, he's going to wash it down. I have breaking news for my boy Luigi Curto.
Yeah.
when he's eating that gobbler from Primo's in New Orleans, he will wash it down with a Frank's Black Cherry Wishniak.
Yeah.
They'll fly it in for him into New Orleans. Yes, the Black Cherry Wishniak.
All right. Bruno, great stuff as always. I don't know what we accomplished, but I laughed my ass off.
I love it.
Well, thank you. We broke it all down. The important things have all been.
You're right.
We chopped it up.
Chopped it
we
up.
We spit it, and we spit rubbed it. It down.
There you go.
Oh, no. See you at the next Freak-Off.
Freak-Off.
Or Freak-On, whatever you're planning this upcoming weekend.
There he is, Tony Bruno, live from Florida. Thank you, brother.
Love you, man.
All right, there you go, Tony Bruno from the great state of Florida. I'm not sure how you go from Donald Trump to the Eagles to Diddy to, horses to cold cuts, but we found a way to do it in all of 23 minutes.
Whew.
Gale and Company, fourth and final hour is coming up next.
Best hour.
Feel free to keep piling on. Terminis, right? Is that how you say it? Terminis?
Don.
Yes.
All right, I got that. I'm going to jot that down. Back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.